James McMurtry's new album is called The Horses and the Hounds. And we talked about the song Canola Fields, in which the sight of these bright yellow fields evokes a flood of memories of an old love. I started my conversation with James about the song by observing that a lot of us have had a lot of time to ourselves this past year. And I wondered if he had found himself doing more looking back on what was or what might have been versus looking forward.
I've done a lot of both. There's plenty of time. Yeah, I've looked back and analyzed, and it's sort of like a death rehearsal, you know. You think, okay, you think about stuff you passed up and think, okay, will I do that again? Maybe not.
What changes do you see in your songs as you get older?
I don't really see any changes. I'm still doing the same process. Yeah, I still start with two lines and a melody and try to follow it to its logical conclusion. You know, I might write more about aging because I am aging, but it's still the same process.
You said Canola Fields is a song for getting 40-year-olds to realize it's okay to be 59. You're still touring and rocking. Do you notice that maybe it takes a little longer to get warmed up to the whole thing?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really toured with a band in over a year and a half. So I can't tell you that right now. We did one band show outside just recently. And, you know, we were a little rusty and a little nervous, but it's still there. I can tell you I don't miss the road that much. And I used to identify as a road dog. I felt like I needed an identity. And I was real proud that we could go out there and, you know, keep doing it. And I still am proud of that, but I don't need it for an identity anymore. I could be a road dog as a vocation. But, you know, I noticed after about 2 weeks of being home that my back didn't hurt anymore because I'm not hunched over a steering wheel and I'm not hauling gear in and out of clubs all the time. If I get the chance to do it, I will, because that's my job. But I don't have a romantic affiliation with it, really.
Except that it does provide a lot of material. Being on the road has informed your songs.
It has, but I've done it for 30 years, so I don't know that I need to inform it in that way that much longer. And I don't know. The places we go change constantly, and that's what I used to like about it, was go out and see what crops are growing in Iowa this year. And when the price of ethanol affected the price of corn, we didn't see as much soybeans as we used to, that sort of thing. I've noticed, you know, the West is on fire. Well, the West has been on fire every time I've been out there for the last 10 or 15 years. That's a lot worse now, for sure.
You do make us see places that we might think of as flyover or drive-through country.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. I mean, we used to joke that we were the kings of the middle of nowhere, because we do great in places like Montana and Idaho. You know, we've played in nearly every place that calls itself a city in the state of Montana. We've done Missoula, Whitefish, Livingston, Bozeman, Virginia City, Miles City, White Sulphur Springs, Great Falls. Every place but Helena and Butte, we pretty much got them.
Is your audience aging with you, or are you still reaching a lot of young ears?
We have a multi-generational audience. I mean, my first crop of fans died of old age years ago, but their grandkids are coming to the shows now, and they're grown. So that's probably why my career has never been big, but it has been sustaining for a long time, and that's probably it. Some kids don't reject the music of their parents, which is fortunate for us.
Have the demographics changed?
Well, yeah, it seems to be mostly white people, but not entirely. More Hispanics than blacks, I think. Some Asian, we get a little bit of everybody now. That's what we have to do. I mean, I don't like looking out there and just seeing a sea of white. I'm glad they're there, but, you know.
With the changes in the music industry, particularly streaming, are you able, in your art, to ignore the business end, to separate them?
No. No, they're tied together. I mean, I make records when my tour draw falls off. There's economics involved in all of this. It used to be that we toured to support record sales. Hopefully we would sell enough records to make royalties to live off, but that didn't work for me and for a lot of people. And then, of course, Napster and Spotify turned everything around to where anybody that wants to be in the music business is going to have to learn to live off the road. That's how it is. You're not going to probably recoup your costs making a record. I've done it a couple of times when I made cheap enough records that happened to sell enough. And I have actually seen artist royalties once or twice, but for the most part, it's ticket sales.
When you have a new album come out, is it an exciting time? Are you waiting to see what people think of it?
No, it's just relieving when it finally comes out. I've been lucky. All of my stuff has come out so far. But there's always this sort of tension until it does.
We talked about your introducing us to places we wouldn't know about otherwise. And that brings me back to the song Canola Fields. You paint such a detailed picture of those chartreuse fields in the summer in southern Alberta, and then how they're rusty brown in the fall.
Well, it is amazing. That chartreuse canola blossom in the summer, that's about as yellow as anything you ever see. That's just insanely, you know, we didn't know what it was for a long time. And then we'd go back in the fall, and those same fields would be raked up just like hay fields. You know, you have windrows raked up in the middle, and they had these weird machines that go along and have this sort of reverse conveyor belt that comes up under the road, feeds it into the maw of the machine, and then it spits the chaff out the back. So we knew it was some kind of seed crop, because, you know, anything like that that spits out chaff, the seeds are going to fall into the bottom of it. And then one day we saw an empty field that had a big sign in it that said canola processing with a phone number on it. So that's when we finally figured out what those fields were. Never thought to ask anybody.
So many times you will write something that conveys so much more than just the literal meaning of the words. Like when the narrator describes his competition for the woman he loved 30 years ago, and he calls the guy the second best surfer on the Central Coast. Do you have a moment of pride when you write something like that and just sit back and think, that's really good?
Well, it's more like luck. It's like you caught that lyric. You stumbled onto it. I didn't set out to write it. I just heard it somehow. You have to write it down, because you will forget it if you don't. You know, I played Santa Cruz for years before I knew that was the Central Coast. I was stranded in Watsonville for several days with a busted radiator back when we ran our own van. And Laura Hopper from K-Pig came over and said, you know, you're right across the street from the best sushi on the Central Coast. I'm like, no, I didn't know that. But she was right.
When you sing, the whiskey could push me to sudden extremes, but I don't want to think about that. For you, are there memories you don't want to remember?
Absolutely. There's places I can't go back to. There's things, you know, like anybody, there's a lot of stuff I'm not proud of. There's certain behaviors you can't get away with unless you're Miles Davis.
A narrator describes cashing in on a 30-year crush and states the obvious, you can't be young and do that. Does he really think there's an advantage in getting older, or is he being ironic?
I don't know what the narrator thinks, but I believe that. For sure, there are advantages to being older. Well, one thing, just to have known people for 30 or 40 years through many changes in life, that's valuable. I don't know if a young person needs to care about that. They might get there.
I was thinking about you crossing southern Alberta. Canola fields on a July day, about the same chartreuse as that 69 bug you used to drive around San Jose. You never knew where my old white Lincoln might take you. Party on wheels with suicide doors. Bring the kids and the dogs and your grandma too. We always had room for more. Till that white knuckle ride back from Santa Cruz, second best surfer on the Central Coast, had you wrapped up all the way back to Los Gatos, and I could have cut his throat. And it wasn't like we were an item to start with, it had no basis in fact. But the whiskey could push me to sudden extremes. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. Take my hand, Marie. Take a death grip on some part of me. Keep me from drifting far out to sea, or I'll be lost out there. Filtered away with the days getting shorter, seeking our place in the greater scheme. Kids and careers and a vague sense of order, busting apart at the seams. I heard you switched coast, moved in with your sister. I doubt she'd have called it familial bliss. We met up in Brooklyn before it went hipster. You carried your keys in your fist. In a way back corner of a crosstown bus, we were hiding out under my hat, cashing in on a 30-year crush. You can't be young and do that. You can't be young and do that. Take my hand, Marie. Take a death grip on some part of me. Keep me from drifting far out to sea, or I'll be lost out there. Or I'll be lost out there. I was thinking about you crossing southern Alberta. Canola fields at harvest time looked like tumbleweeds all raked up into rows, brown rusty contour lines. There's not much moving on the romance radar. Not that I'm craving it all that much, but I still need to feel every once in a while the warmth of a smile and a touch. Crosstown bus, we were hiding out under my hat, cashing in on a 30-year crush. You can't be young and do that. 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 Take my hand.
James McMurtry, Canola Fields, from his terrific new album, The Horses and the Hounds.